I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
It's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right wing. Conservative Network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Thursday, June 8th, 2023 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And it is a wild and a dystopic ride, to be sure. And it gets wilder and crazier with each day. We were chatting a little bit before today's broadcast. I intended to do something specifically, and it might change. There are so many headlines these days that, you know, how wild and dystopic. There are so many headlines that are major headlines that feel more like some kind of a spoof or a parody or like an Onion headline or something like that. And an example of that would be one of the most recent examples was a couple of days ago, New York Post headline, Jack Nicklaus has surprising reaction to PGA Tour LIV Golf merger. That sounds like, because of what's gone on over the last 3 years, that sounds like an Onion headline. And it's actually a real headline. And so for the last couple of days, the world has been reacting to the PGA LIV Golf merger, which also includes the DP World Tour. And this is very... I don't know, if you follow what has been going on for the last few years, and really beyond that, because again, as I've mentioned in the past when this subject has come up, I know this isn't something that maybe even most people, you know, some people aren't interested in, maybe most people aren't interested in, but I think it represents, it's sort of a barometer of where we're at and what's going on. And some of the related headlines include, you know, you see things like PGA players furious, LIV golfers and Donald Trump vainglorious after tour merge. You see a headline like that and you think, this must be a parody. This must be some satirical website somewhere that somebody's maintaining. And you read, I mean, you can read half an article, even, you know, including tweets and all kinds of social media posts and think to yourself, man, this is a really good fake story. But it's not a fake story. So I think that really sort of categorizes how strange things are. If you've been watching over the last several years, people like Rory McIlroy, Tiger Woods, and even Jack Nicklaus have been pretty outspoken. And now all of a sudden, and of course, PGA Commissioner Jay Monahan was very outspoken. And maybe the headline that really says it all is the headline, Money Wins, PGA Hypocrisy Laid Bare in LIV Merger. With the, yeah. And there are a number of other related headlines. Rory McIlroy, well, that's, we won't read that one. I Hate LIV, McIlroy Savages Rebel Tour Following Merger. Aussie Golf Braces for Impact of Shock LIV PGA Merger. PGA LIV Merger Exposes Bitter Reality of Sports Washing. And maybe this one, to LIV Golf Objectors, PGA Merger Feels Like Abject Surrender. And, you know, there are others like the loyalists, the popular loyalists like Tiger Woods, Rory, McIlroy and John Rahm, they are being called, according to, you know, some articles, billion-dollar losers because of the hundreds of millions of dollars that were reportedly offered to them. There was talk early on. Greg Norman said that Tiger Woods was offered somewhere in the neighborhood of $1 billion to be associated with the LIV Tour, and that number was later refuted by LIV Golf executive Majed Al-Surer. He said he never offered Woods that money, not even close to that. However, as folks have speculated, obviously there was an offer made of some kind. And then, you know, along the way, everybody was saying Greg Norman has to go first. And that's a bigger, longer story that I've talked about. Greg Norman has been trying to do this for about three decades. And in the early days of this defection, as the story goes, Arnold Palmer, you know, there was a players' meeting. And Arnold Palmer, who was kind of the king of golf marketing, was responsible for getting players, you know, kind of like the Tiger Woods of his day, you might say, or in, you know, NBA terms, the Michael Jordan or the Kobe Bryant. Maybe that's not even an accurate. He was Arnold Palmer really pioneered merchandising and marketing for folks on the PGA Tour. People that remember those days will recall, you know, Arnold and Pennzoil and some of the commercials that he did, like on his tractor there. I think it was in Latrobe. If memory serves, that might not be accurate. Anyway, you remember the commercials, and Arnold Palmer pioneered golf marketing in a way that Tiger Woods obviously took to a whole new stratosphere. So back in those days, there was a players' meeting, and Greg Norman was making the same kind of noise that he's been making with LIV Golf. And Arnold Palmer said, do you think – basically the story goes that Arnold Palmer said something – along the lines of, don't you think we've had offers and we could have done something like this, what eventually became LIV Golf now, a long time ago? The reason that I don't, Palmer reportedly said, was because of these guys. And he pointed to the other players in the room. And So there was a sense of loyalty and camaraderie. And Greg Norman was always a fly in that ointment. And that never changed. And so you fast forward to now, the reason for mentioning that is because there were folks like Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy and others who said, Greg Norman has to go before we can even talk freely, so to speak. And obviously that didn't happen. So this is one of those crazy, you can't even believe, you wake up one day, there's no rumbling of anything that would give you an indication that something like this is on the horizon. Nothing legitimate. In fact, everything to the contrary. And then you wake up and you see things like this. This kind of stuff is happening more and more. And I think it really sort of categorizes the world we live in today. And so, you know, that's how crazy, I suppose, in a nutshell. You might not be able to appreciate it, but, you know, if you don't follow golf and you haven't been following the PGA LIV Golf controversy for the last 3 years, then maybe it doesn't really matter to you. But, you know, I think this really speaks to deeper issues. I mean, the thing that is perhaps most astonishing is you have folks, you know, you have Tiger Woods still doesn't, you know, there is the move the needle analogy. Tiger Woods doesn't move the needle. He is the needle. He has been the needle for ever since he turned out on the PGA Tour some 25 or so years ago. Even before he turned pro, he was becoming the needle. And when he turned pro, certainly he became the needle. There's no question. When he would take a hiatus, things would sort of settle back down. But then when he would come back out after surgeries or whatever and compete, there was no denying that you know, revenue would pick up in all sorts of ways. You know, attendance was higher, viewership on television was higher, merchandising was higher. One of the great examples of that he was and still is the needle was the Bridgestone ball endorsement. When he endorsed the Bridgestone ball, they sold out of a year's supply of golf balls in about 2 or 3 months, if memory serves. So that's one of the best examples. And the fact that this player who single-handedly is worth, you know, his endorsement is worth billions of dollars to the merchandising world and beyond. The fact that basically that is, you know, I don't even know how to say it, you know, that is overlooked and disacknowledged, that it's not even a consideration, not even a factor in the discussion, really speaks to the deeper issues. You know, is it really all about money? Is that what we're doing now? And that sort of reminds me of John Maynard Keynes, who is the father of the Keynesian economic model, in a sense, that we have had the Ponzi scheme, really is what it is, since the Bretton Woods conference back in 1944, and then later the Marshall Plan that really gave Bretton Woods teeth. Keynes himself told us what happens when you run a Ponzi scheme. By a continuing process of inflation, he wrote in The Economic Consequences of the Peace back in 1919, by a continuing process of inflation, what is a Ponzi scheme? Basically, it's an unauthorized, illegal process of hypothecation of currency. And back in 1913, essentially the Federal Reserve was granted a license to legitimize their counterfeiting operation, because that's what it is. The Constitution gives Congress the power, and Congress alone, to coin and print money. But then that power was given or extended to the Federal Reserve, which admits, you can go on the St. Louis Fed website, who owns the Federal Reserve banks in plain English, the series that they have in plain English series. Who owns the Federal Reserve banks? The Federal Reserve banks are not a part of the federal government, but they exist because of an act of Congress. Their purpose is to serve the public. So, yeah, serve the public up on a platter, maybe. So is the Fed private or public? The answer is both. The Federal Reserve banks are not a part of the federal government. And there's that secret Christmas Eve signing of the Federal Reserve Act featured, the image by candlelight. Well, maybe not candlelight, but it looks like candlelight. Might as well be. In the dead of night, Christmas Eve, when everybody else is on Christmas hiatus, you have these folks meeting in secret, and Woodrow Wilson is flanked by these folks. Later, he says, you know, I'm a most unhappy man, allegedly. I kind of feel like that's probably an Illuminized remark, speaking, you know, white man speak with forked tongue kind of thing, to sort of absolve himself of things that he had known long before that, since his time in academia. I'm more inclined to believe that he knew better. Anyway, back to John Maynard Keynes, The Economic Consequences of the Peace. By a continuing process of inflation, governments can confiscate secretly and unobserved an important part of the wealth of their citizens. By this method, they not only confiscate, but they confiscate arbitrarily. And while the process impoverishes many, it actually enriches some. The sight of this arbitrary rearrangement of riches strikes not only at security, but at confidence in the equity of the existing distribution of wealth. Those to whom the system brings windfalls beyond their deserts and even beyond their expectations or desires become profiteers, quote unquote, who are the object of the hatred of the bourgeoisie, whom the inflationism has impoverished, not less than that of the proletariat. As the inflation proceeds, here's the point though. As the inflation proceeds and the real value of the currency fluctuates wildly from month to month, and speaking of value, again, as has been mentioned on this broadcast many, many times, there is no – even the Federal Reserve says the Federal Reserve note, what we call the dollar today, it has no value. It has no value. No, Chris, that's not true. We buy things with it. Yes, because they say it has purchasing power. It has no value because it can't. It is not anchored to anything, and therefore, like Jefferson observed, paper is the ghost of money and not money itself. And if you think paper's a ghost, what do you think that digital stuff is? What do you think crypto is? I think everything that you need to know about it is in the name, crypto. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Thank you. Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This point here. What is happening? The point is not to get hijacked or high-centered on the money scheme. Although, you know, there are folks that told us we should be concerned since, well, even John Maynard Keynes, you know, again, in the Economic Consequences of the Peace, Keynes is writing, hey, this might not be a good idea. And then in 1944, Keynes himself is the author of the Ponzi scheme that we now call the economic model of the free world. It's been a great way to steal things for a long, long time. You know, it's G. Edward Griffin once described it as the Mandrake mechanism, and that's I think that's a great way to describe it. I think it's, you know, you could also think of it as, I mean, it's such a stupid bait and switch. It's, you know, it's like the Dewey-Oxberger trick. I've talked about the Dewey-Oxberger methodology from the movie Stripes, John Candy's character Dewey-Oxberger, who's fleecing his mentally deficient fellow soldier. Isn't this fun? This is great. You know, if we were, and you know, he does that thing where he says, you know, if we were, we're in this country, and so you have to make my bed, basically. But if we were in another country, I'd have to make yours. And they're playing cards, and he, you know, his mentally deficient fellow soldier says, I don't know what to do. And John Candy says, well, let me see your cards. Yeah, you know, if I were you, I would bet, you know, I wouldn't fold because, well, you know, I'm a risk taker. So that's what I would do. And the guy says, all right, I'm, you know, and he goes all in, basically. And then, of course, John Candy takes all of his money and says, well, you know, that's too bad. Sorry, I had better cars. But, you know, isn't this fun? This is fun. And in a sense, I think the Ponzi scheme works that way, because the paper was originally a claim check on actual money, which, according to our Constitution, is gold and silver. And the value of that was set, I think, in what, 1796, in the Coinage Act, if I'm not mistaken. But we have no recollection of that at this point. Very little vestige remains. Now, you know, the numismatic community is we think of gold as a an investment or some kind of a, you know, a hedge. It's money. Our Constitution says that it's money, not some kind of investment. That would be like saying, you know, get Federal Reserve notes. They're a great investment. What? No. And that's a longer discussion, but, you know, the point here is, as Keynes wrote, as the inflation proceeds and the real value of the currency fluctuates wildly from month to month, or as it skyrockets in a hyperinflative kind of situation, what people are starting to sense in America, my goodness, you know, and the misdirection is crazy. You know, Joe Biden, if you think Joe Biden is directly responsible for the inflation that we're feeling, or even Congress for that matter, where's the impetus coming from? It's not coming from Congress. As the inflation proceeds and the real value of the currency fluctuates wildly from month to month, all permanent relations between debtors and creditors, which form the ultimate foundation of capitalism, become so utterly disordered as to be almost meaningless, and the process of wealth getting degenerates into a gamble and a lottery. And Keynes went on to say Lenin was certainly right. There is no subtler, no surer means of overturning the existing basis of society than to debauch the currency. The process engages all the hidden forces of economic law on the side of destruction, and does it in a manner which not one man in a million is able to diagnose. So what's the point? I'll finish the point when we come back. Stick around. More right after this break.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822, that's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff LLC, 417-932-6419.
Welcome back. So the focus here is, you know, Keynes says there is no subtle or no sure means of overturning the existing basis of society than to debauch the currency. The process engages all the hidden forces of economic law on the side of destruction and does it in a manner which not one man in a million is able to diagnose. And so as a result of Bretton Woods, we heard that America was the lender, consumer, producer, everything of last resort. And that's why we have to do this. And then, of course, you know, we had all of the military intrigue and so forth coming forward from the mid-20th century to enforce the petrodollar, as it was popularly known for a while. In fact, you know, one of the best little treatises that you can watch and even read on this is James Corbett's two-part series that he published back in 2017, How and Why Big Oil Conquered the World, at corbettreport.com/bigoil. all one word. And he included that bit, speaking of all of this, in the petrodollar. There was that section in, what is it, the history of oil. In part two, oligarchs for climate change, ironically. And so there was that section, as leaked documents from the 1973 Bilderberg meeting show, the oligarchs decided to use their control over the flow of oil to save the American hegemon. Acknowledging that OPEC, quote, could completely disorganize and undermine the world monetary system, the Bilderberg attendees prepared for an energy crisis or an increase in energy costs. Have we been seeing something similar to this lately? Which they predicted, and that's linked, could mean an oil price between $10 and $12, a staggering 400% increase from the current price of $3.01 per barrel. 5 months later, Bilderberg attendee and Rockefeller protege Henry Kissinger, acting as Nixon's Secretary of State, engineered the Yom Kippur War and provoked OPEC's response, an oil embargo of the U.S. and other nations that had supported Israel. On October 16, 1973, OPEC raised oil prices by 70%. At their December meeting, the Shah of Iran demanded and received a further price raise of $11.65 a barrel, or 400% of oil's pre-crisis price. When asked by Saudi King Faisal's personal emissary why he had demanded such a bold price increase, he replied, "Tell your king, if he wants the answer to this question, he should go to Washington and ask Henry Kissinger." I suppose a little more to finish the point. In the second move of the operation, Kissinger helped negotiate a deal with Saudi Arabia in exchange for U.S. arms and military protection. The Saudis would price all their future oil sales in dollars and recycle those dollars through treasury purchases via Wall Street banks. The deal was a bonanza for the oligarchs. Not only did they get to pass the price increases on to the consumers, but they benefited from the huge flows of money into their own banks. And in this Ponzi scheme, what can you do when the huge flows of money go into those banks? What can you do then? I suppose along with this, we should include the Investopedia video that we've played. We played it recently. Fractional reserve banking. How does it work? The video went away and then it came back. I think we should, actually. So just to underscore the point, and then we'll move on. This is not intended to be a treatise on this subject. The point that I'm getting back to is, you know, when you have historically, you would think that someone like Tiger Woods, who's worth $1 billion, to, you know, someone can write a check to him for $1 billion knowing that they'll get that money back in merchandising and marketing and things. But when you see a merger of the PGA and LIV Tour, and someone like Tiger Woods is left entirely out of the discussion, it kind of tells you where we're at. We've gone through some, we just went through Memorial Day and some other commemorative days. And I've talked about the schizophrenia of those days. You know, we're so patriotic, except not really. I'm still seeing Memorial Day sales events. When is Memorial Day? I thought it had already passed. I thought we were a week and a half past Memorial Day. Why are we still seeing sales events? Nothing is more grotesque, I think, than saying we're patriotic and demonstrating our patriotism by attaching marketing schemes, trying to get people to buy stuff on the backs of dead soldiers. I don't know about you, but I'm just appalled. Couldn't be more offended by that kind of thing. I think it's disgusting. And we're still seeing it. But if I talk honestly about, you know, why Brown University's Watson Institute has their costs of war study, costs of war, human and budgetary costs to date of the U.S. war in Afghanistan, 2001 to 2022. This is not an anecdotal dollar amount. This is a very exhaustively studied dollar amount. How much is it? $2.313 trillion. Why? Where did the money go and to what? And to what end? Was $2.313 trillion well served? And so now we see the same thing happening in an accelerated sort of fashion in Ukraine, including, you know, speaking of used car salesmen, Zelensky sounds like a used car salesman. Hey, come on in. We're open for business. You're what? Which is a, you know, we're open for business. What does that mean? Open for business. So what's the point? The point is, as Keynes wrote, as the inflation proceeds and the real value of the currency or the purchasing power, as it were, we'll get to that in a minute, fluctuates wildly from month to month, all permanent relations between debtors and creditors, which form the ultimate foundation of capitalism, become so utterly disordered as to be almost meaningless. And the process of wealth getting degenerates into a gamble and a lottery. What happens then? Well, you completely ignore someone like Tiger Woods, who's worth, you know, $1 billion right now. You can write him a check for $1 billion and you'll get it back in marketing and so on. But you just skip over that because that's not enough. Or you find reasons to be involved in places like Afghanistan for decades. A place that historically is not a good place to involve yourself. Just ask Alexander the Great. Not a great financial commitment to make. Not wise. Unless you're up to other things, unless you're trying to do something much bigger. $2.313 trillion. And then, of course, you know, you just do the same thing. You rinse and repeat. In a sense, there it's a different context, but you rinse and repeat as far as the gamble and lottery aspect is concerned in places like Ukraine. And since we have been groomed on this idea that everything is relative, John in Tennessee used to like to remind us. People say, you know, whenever they say to me, truth is relative, I say, are you absolutely, you know, there is no absolute truth. I say, are you absolutely sure? So since we have been groomed to believe for generations now that, you know, we live in a relativist world and there are no absolutes, then this is what happens. You end up with these kinds of headlines and these kinds of schemes. And, you know, who's going to argue? Yesterday's friend is today's enemy is tomorrow's friend. Saudi Arabia is still considered, even by the UN Human Rights Commission, the UNHRC. I'm not a fan, but even the UNHRC says Saudi Arabia is, and Israel, ironically, are the two worst human rights violators on the planet. And they're our dearest allies in the region. I mean, knowing them by the company they keep is telling, perhaps. So I think this is what we're seeing. All permanent relations between debtors and creditors, which form the ultimate foundation of capitalism, become so utterly disordered as to be almost meaningless. And the process of wealth getting degenerates into a gamble and lottery. I've talked about in the past about working at Great Western Bank in Los Angeles in the 90s, early 90s. And one of the things that we would do when things were slow is we would call the overdraft report. And that was, you know, that was a very infrequent occurrence. You know, maybe once or maybe twice a week, but probably not. And you know, there were no fees, obviously. Mrs. Jones, please come in. Now, more recently, I mean, I've talked many times about the reconciling software that we're all familiar with that has created many, many articles and news pieces have been done about this, the usurious and onerous practice of dinging people, you know, when the reconciliation happens at night and you have your software written in such a way that the withdrawals come out first and then the deposits go in, even though it happens in a millisecond, you know, if withdrawals happen simultaneously with deposits, well, the withdrawals happen first. And so for a millisecond, you were overdrawn, when in reality it's happening at the same time. And many news pieces have been done on this usurious and onerous practice, which has resulted in a multi-billion dollar boon for the banking industry. All permanent relations between debtors and creditors, which form the ultimate foundation of capitalism, become so utterly disordered as to be almost meaningless, and the process of wealth getting degenerates into a gamble and a lottery. You are abusing the very customers upon whom you rely to run your Ponzi scheme. Oh, but you don't care because, you know what? It's a gamble and a lottery. This, you know, gets back to how this system works. And again, speaking of that, the huge flows of money into their own banks. The Shah of Iran, back to Corbett's big oil, the Shah of Iran parked the National Iranian Oil Company's revenues in Rockefeller's own Chase Bank, revenues that reached $14 billion per year in the wake of the oil crisis. This was back when $14 billion meant something. Remember recently I said millionaires today are the middle class. If you make $1 million a year, you're middle class in America. Everybody said, that's crazy, man. Well, someone like Tiger Woods is completely overlooked in a PGA Tour LIV Golf deal. He doesn't move the needle. He is the needle in the golf world. But that's even going away. This is the crazy world we live in. With the creation of this new system, the petrodollar, the oligarchs had reached unprecedented levels of control over the economy. Not only that, they had backed the world monetary system with their commodity, oil, and brought potential competition from upstart producer nations under their control all in one step. But for the insatiable appetites of these monopolist titans, mere control over the world's monetary system was not enough. And then Corbett goes into part three, the world in their image. Interesting. Stick around, we'll be right back after this short break.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead shilaji hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilaji Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called shilaji as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know shilaji by other names: shilajit, momio, momi, mami, mineral pitch, asphaltum, and others. Shilaji literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilaji has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Welcome back. So again, from James Corbett's Big Oil series, part one, How Big Oil Conquered the World. And part two, competition is a sin, I believe. Part two, competition is a sin. The deal was a bonanza for the oligarchs. Not only did they get to pass the price increases on to the consumers, but they benefited from the huge flows of money into their own banks. And this has a ripple effect. What does it do? It does more of the same. And so, like Keane said, the process of inflation impoverishes many and it actually enriches some. Who does it enrich? When these flows come back, when they benefited from the huge flows of money into their own banks, what does that mean? How do they benefit? So they have deposits. Well, from Investopedia, you can watch this video yourself. Fractional Reserve Banking is the title of the page. Fractional Reserve Banking. How does the so-called fractional reserve system. It's a Ponzi scheme. But how does it work? Listen carefully. Go ahead, please. All right.
Fractional reserve banking is the banking system most countries use today. It requires banks to hold only a fraction of the money their customers deposit. That amount is the reserve requirement, and in most countries, it is set by the central bank. Banks can loan the rest of their deposits to other customers, which serves to expand the economy. It works like this. Banks accept deposits from individuals and businesses, providing them with savings and checking accounts in return. Banks can loan out the bulk of those deposits to other customers to buy homes or cars, start businesses, or to fund other projects. If a customer deposits $100,000 into a bank and the reserve requirement is 5%, the bank can loan $95,000 out to other customers. Once the bank has loaned out $95,000, it in essence has created $195,000. Customers borrow that $95,000 and deposit some or all of it into other banks. If the reserve requirement is still 5%, then the other banks can loan $90,250 to new customers, and the process keeps repeating itself. Financial crisis occurs when the fractional banking system breaks down and the money supply does not expand. Many U.S. banks had to shut down during the Great Depression because so many people attempted to withdraw their money at the same time. Today, safeguards exist to prevent such an occurrence.
Right. Just ask the SVB folks. There you go. That's how the Ponzi scheme works. And we're headed into the second hour, so stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.